Just a quick, I'd like to know who my audience is. So how many people work for or employed by a public health office? Just a show of hands, good. And how about a private sector clinic? Okay, a government agency, CDC, vaccine manufacturer. Okay, very good. I'm not Shakespeare, but I try to be every now and then. PDRX or Pentacell, that is the question. We're faced with a lot of choices in life. Just another, I'd like audience participation. So just a quick show of hands, dog people or cat people? Who's a dog person? A cat person? Okay, good. Mountains versus beaches? Mountains? Beaches? Pretty split, okay. Coffee versus tea? Coffee? Tea? Okay, now PDRX or Pentacell? PDRX? Pentacell? Okay, I'll write down those statistics. It'll be in our next paper. The research that we've done, in fact, we've been working in this area since 1996. Our funding is from the National Science Foundation, so we have no other disclosures to report, so this is our source of funding for it. We've been working on this problem for quite a while. In fact, we were working on pricing combination vaccines before there were combination vaccines. So as a result, the work that we're going to talk about today has now become quite relevant. What's interesting is that there is such a dearth of information provided to providers to help them decide whether they in fact should be using PDRX or Pentacell. It is a very complex question, yet there are very few tools, if any, which are available. And hopefully by the end of the next 23 minutes, you'll have an idea of the fact that people are working on this problem and do have some information and guidelines to help people make decisions. We're going to be talking about methodology. I'm going to give you some results, and then I'm going to tell you which one is a better value based on certain economic criteria. That doesn't mean you should run out and buy that one versus the other one. It just means that people are thinking about these things, and it's important that you be aware of the issues that are involved. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the background and motivation for our work, the methods employed. Then I'm going to talk about three scenarios, a scenario where there is no PDRX and Pentacell, a scenario where there is PDRX without Pentacell, which is what we saw when PDRX was first launched by GlaxoSmithKline, and then the scenario that we're faced with now over the last several months with both PDRX and Pentacell available in the marketplace, and then some key conclusions. Now, we all know about routine immunization. It's very important. In fact, if we weren't here, the fact that we're here means that we know that it's very important. And the so-called recommended childhood immunization schedule is what, in fact, we try to adhere to when we stock our formularies. This is an important part of the mission of immunization in this nation. We've all seen the schedule before. I take this off the CDC website. They put it in a nice form, easy to put into PowerPoint. We've all seen that as well. Now, we've seen also over the last several years, in fact over the last few decades, that the recommended childhood immunization schedule has become much more complex. It requires now a couple of dozen injections just over the first couple of years to be able to satisfy all the requirements, not including special cases. And in any one visit, if we're only using monovalent, we may in fact have as many as 6 injections. So in fact, it is a very onerous and difficult situation to have to deal with. Now, in the United States, there are 4 pharmaceutical companies which in fact provide all the vaccines for pediatric immunization, and 3 of the 4 provide what we refer to as competitive vaccines. And what we mean by that is vaccines that are not sole source providers, which means that there is competition for them. I've given you the 3 companies, Sanofi, Pasteur, GlaxoSmithKline, and Merck, and the products that they have available. Notice that we have Pentacell, PDRX, and Comvex, which are the primary combinations for each of the 3 manufacturers. So we're going to focus all of our attention on these vaccines and these antigens because the sole source providers, you don't have a choice, which means that there's really nothing to analyze. You take it as it is. Now, Comvex, PDRX, and Pentacell are partially overlapping. So they cannot simply be interchanged with each other, but in essence, what happens is that they become backbones in a formulary. And what I mean by that is that once you choose that combination, you build the rest of the monovalents around it. Now that means you've got choices. Now the CDC, in their documentation, encourages combination vaccines, and the vaccine manufacturers have in fact responded and created them. This is a good thing. It reduces the number of injections. There's great advantages to doing that. Now, there are 2 motivating questions that we've looked at, and although they look like they are in fact contradictory, I'm going to try and convince you that, in fact, they are not under the current immunization environment. Question number one is, from the perspective of the healthcare providers, what set of vaccines fully satisfies the recommended childhood immunization schedule at minimum cost to you? The second question is, from the perspective of the pharmaceutical companies, what prices should be set for their vaccines in order to maximize their revenues? And these two questions seem like they're contradictory, because if someone wants to minimize cost, doesn't that mean that it's going to limit revenue? I'm going to challenge that and say, no, that's not the case. In fact, they are very compatible questions. Now, the first question we actually answered many years ago, and this was joint work with CDC personnel, in particular Bruce Weniger at the CDC, and we published some papers, one of them being in Vaccine, another one was in an operations research journal. I am not a physician, by the way. I am actually an operations researcher or an engineer, but I've worked on these kinds of problems and interacted with a lot of people in the medical community. My wife is also a physician. She's an infectious disease doctor. So in some sense, when I have really tough questions, I go to her, and it works out quite nicely. We developed something called the vaccine selection algorithm, and what it enabled us to do is identify what we refer to as the lowest overall cost formulary, which is a best value formulary based on a variety of economic criteria. Now, there's a lot of math which goes into this, and I'm not going to talk to you about the math, although we've published it and it's available, but we've also made it very easy for people to access the math so that it becomes, in some sense, a GUI around which you put in numbers, press a button, and all the math goes on behind the scene in a website called vaccineselection.com. So anybody can, in essence, do the things that we've done with a little bit of guidance. Now, the dilemma is that the way the recommended childhood immunization schedule is designed, you can't use both at the same time. As a provider, you've discovered that. So ultimately, someone has to make a decision. Should I base my formulary around Pedirix, or should I base my formulary around Pentacell? And the assumption that we make is that the market will ultimately gravitate to the combination vaccine which provides the best economic value in terms of overall cost, not just in terms of the price of the vaccines, but the overall cost to the provider, as well as the other secondary and tertiary people involved, could be the insurance companies, et cetera, et cetera. So this, in fact, will help us relate to the revenue generated by the vaccine manufacturers. So the practical question of interest, which we're going to try and address now, is assuming that the recommended childhood immunization schedule must be satisfied, so that's a given, should Pedirix or Pentacell be used? So the methodology that we're going to look at, as I mentioned, we're going to look at three different scenarios. One is the pre-Pedirix Pentacell scenario. Then we're going to add in Pedirix, since it came before Pentacell, and then we're going to have Pedirix and Pentacell. Now, all of these are based on federal contract prices, which ended yesterday. So I checked the website today at the CDC to see if new prices are in, and they aren't. So these are still current, although sometime over the next, I suspect, few days, we're going to see new prices. And the way our analysis works is that if you left the prices of all the combination vaccines the same, but you changed even only the monovalence, you can get a different answer. All of the vaccines interact with each other, and as a result, the way we define our formulary and the way we evaluate it economically are greatly impacted by all the vaccines in among the competitive vaccines. Another issue that, in fact, is fraught with uncertainty is the cost of an injection, because everybody has a different community that they serve, and as a result, under different immunization environments, one will end up with a different cost of injection distribution. We've used a particular one, and it's called the triangular distribution, with a minimum value of around $6 per injection, a maximum value of around $14, and a mode or a common value or the most popular value of 10. We can put in any distribution, and we'd come up with different results, but nonetheless, the methodology still applies. Now, here's the one slide of the math. So for those of you who have math phobia, close your eyes, don't look, you know, start humming to yourself. That's okay. I understand. I won't take it personally. But there is some math behind this. This is not just voodoo, although my wife likes to call this research, you know, a fancy math. So I guess it is fancy math. But basically, what we're trying to do is focus from the perspective of the vaccine manufacturer, which at the same time will help the providers. And it doesn't quite look that way, but it will become more apparent. And we have an equation which we want to optimize over. And this is the math. Won't see any more math. Okay, you can open your eyes now. Now, let's look at market conditions without PDRX or Pentacell. And what we've done here is we've looked at different intervals for the cost of an injection and then defined or designed a formulary. Now, these vaccines just don't come out of thin air. We actually solve this optimization problem, and it takes several minutes, in fact, on a very fast computer to be able to do this, because there's a lot of things that are going on behind the scene. But the interesting thing that comes out of this, that if we eliminate PDRX or Pentacell, of course we will have monovalents which are available, and this will provide the best value to the provider. Now, as we see here, we also give market share between Merck, Glaxo, and Sanofi Pasteur, and this is based once again on the March 31st pricing, and it shows the share of the market that they're able to get. In this particular case, before the combination vaccines were available, Sanofi Pasteur was able to generate the greatest fraction of the revenue among the competitive antigens, which is all fine and good, but it's just the way it is. Now, if they change their prices, that would also change as well. Now let's look at the world with PDRX, but without Pentacell. And of course, what we see is that PDRX will enter the marketplace. Now, as a result of that, it takes market share away from Sanofi Pasteur and adds it to GlaxoSmithKline. Now, once again, when we look at the market share distribution, we now have a shift, as is certainly reasonable, towards GlaxoSmithKline, away from Sanofi Pasteur, and Merck also languishes somewhat. Now, what's interesting about this is the fact that we've added a combination vaccine and the market responds naturally and gravitates towards it. This is what the economics is able to point out. Now, there may be other factors, and I'll talk about them shortly, which will change people's preferences. So, for example, if you say, I'm not going to use any product from GlaxoSmithKline, then you won't use PDRX and you'll stick with whatever's available. We don't take that into account. What we're trying to do is look for market forces, which basically are natural in the system, or tendencies, so that the market will naturally gravitate towards them. This is what our mathematical analysis is able to do. Now, given all of this fact, the next question is, well, what if we put PDRX versus Pentacell? Once again, at the federal contract prices. All of this is based on federal contract prices. There's nothing here which precludes us for looking at the private sector and doing a similar analysis. In fact, one of the things with our methodology is the fact that if you're in a position that you want to negotiate a new vaccine, suppose you're currently using PDRX and you want to switch to Pentacell, you can use this methodology to negotiate a fair price to you to find out what the break-even point is. The other thing that this analysis does is that if any of the companies change their prices, it will shift the market share, and potentially a company which says, well, gee, if I already have a certain market share and I'll raise my price just a little bit, then I'll get even more revenue. That's a bad assumption. In fact, these are stability points around which the revenue is being generated. Now let's look at the third scenario. And the third scenario is PDRX and Pentacell both being available. And what's interesting here is that once again, based on the March 31st, 2009 federal contract prices, PDRX gains the majority of the market share. It does not change what we just saw. So in essence, Pentacell does not penetrate into the marketplace. Now, that's an interesting observation. If you're GlaxoSmithKline, you're probably saying, yeah, that's great. If you're Sanofi Pasteur, you're saying, oh, that's not good, because nothing changed. So what we then did is said, well, gee, what can we do to make Sanofi Pasteur's price competitive in the marketplace? So we're basically going to play a game now with the vaccines to try and provide value. So the current price of Pentacell is $50.10. That's the federal contract's price. And PDRX is $48.75. With those prices, once again, based on the fact that we're looking for just market neutrality, PDRX is providing a better value. Now, it's not because it's $48.75 versus $50.10. It's just the way they fit into the formulary. So what we did is we said, well, what would be a better price? And I'm going to go through the analysis. It turns out a better price for Pentacell is $44.40, and I'll show you the consequence of that. But basically, what we've done is we've said that, yes, Pentacell will enter the marketplace under neutral circumstances, but it will penetrate it extremely slowly at its current price. And there is good economic reason to keep Pediarix as the backbone for your formulary, particularly when you're in an immunization environment where the cost of injections are very high. If you're in an environment where there's no value to a cost of injection, you might as well use monovalents. But we really aren't in that situation from a practical point of view. So let's reprice Pentacell to $44.40. So it is a drop of around $6. But what's interesting is it gains market share. Now you may say, well, why don't I make it $44.41? It won't have that market share. That's the break-even point. So we determine these to a penny. And when we do that, we now see that Sanofi Pasteur is able to reap 86% of the market share just by a drop of price. And their revenue skyrockets because their prices come down and they've become more competitive when they compete against the other antigens. Now, what does that mean for the consumer? Ultimately, since we have competing products in the marketplace, when the vaccine manufacturer tries to maximize revenue, they can't raise their price to infinity. The competition they have are monovalents, and the competition they have are the other combinations, which as a result means there is going to be a natural equilibrium that the market is going to converge to over time. What our research does is it focuses on the economic value provided at the prices that are offered. So on one hand, yes, the vaccine manufacturers want to get as much money as possible from the providers, but at the same time, the providers want the best value. Those two seemingly conflicting objectives are able to converge so that you can get the best value at the same time that the vaccine manufacturer will maximize their revenue, because to be able to compete in the marketplace, they have to bring their price down to the minimal price that provides the best value to the consumer. So this is the wonderful way that market forces are going to, in fact, help the providers. Now, we see that Sanofi Pasteur has an enormous increase in the revenue that they're able to generate by lowering their price because they become more competitive. And under a circumstance like that, we would have a much more aggressive and rapid market penetration. Now, there are certain limitations to this, and let me point them out, and then I'm going to make a note of the HIB shortage issue. This is a dollar and cents analysis. So, for example, if you have a particular brand loyalty, we have not taken that into account. This is something, in fact, which is current research, bringing in brand loyalty so that you'd have to switch for more than a penny of savings. There has to be more value. People who have aversion to combination vaccines, there's nothing that we can do about that. If you have aversion to a particular manufacturer, that's another obstacle that we have not taken into account. There may be costs to breaking contracts if you want to do an immediate switch. We haven't taken that into account. And then the HIB shortage issue is very interesting. Now, for those of you who have switched from PDRX to Pentacell, let's just have a show of hands, just have an idea. Okay. Now, of those people, how many of you have switched because of the HIB shortage? Okay. Now, of those people, how many of you still would have switched if there wasn't a HIB shortage? And the interesting thing is, you're probably sitting there saying, I don't know. How many are saying, I don't know? Exactly. You don't know. It's a hard question. And unfortunately, that question has been thrust upon the public health community, the private sector, government agencies, without ample information to help decide that. So what I did is, we went back and said, let's take the Merck HIB products completely out of the market. How does it shift the analysis? Well, it turns out Pediarix still wins. But the point at which Pentacell would enter the marketplace, instead of being $44.40, it jumps up to $45.77. So as a result, it gets extra value out of the problems that Merck is having. Now, let me ask you another simple question. What if we have a hepatitis B shortage? In fact, right now, there are delivery problems with hepatitis B. Are people going to switch back once the HIB shortage is over? And you start to think, well, that's a good question. but there are no easy answers. So the point that we're trying to make is that these are important issues, and we aren't thinking about them, and we in fact have a paper that is written on this which describes the methodology. It's under review in a journal. And the point that we want to make is to put this out for the people to be aware that there are market forces in place, and that the vaccine manufacturers who are motivated to certainly provide vaccines and generate revenue are in a situation that their best interest actually will be in the best interest of the providers if they price their products appropriately. So some concluding comments. When the vaccine manufacturers are trying to do what's in their best interest because of the competition in the marketplace, in essence, it's going to help everybody. That's a good thing. And the methodologies that we use, which are from the field of operations research, actually help. And as I said, minimizing cost and maximizing this revenue are quite compatible under the current environment. We could take advantage of that, and we will see good things happen from this, or potentially good things. The other thing is that as new combination vaccines come to market, the methodologies that we've developed certainly will apply, and we will just continue to crunch numbers and report them at conferences like this. The other thing, as I mentioned, is we've done all of our analysis based on federal contract prices. We could easily do this for private sector prices. We can easily take this information, and in fact, like I said, if you have to negotiate prices, this is a great methodology to help people negotiate better and fairer prices. You say, well, then we're going to hurt the vaccine manufacturers. The fact of the matter is, if they get the market, then it's not hurting them. And ultimately, with 4.3, 4.4 million children born every year, it's a very large market. A lot of money is being spent, and we might as well use it wisely to help the public health infrastructure in our country be a little stronger. Thank you very much.